And good morning, colleagues, and welcome to those of you in the audience. And we'll open a work session on House Bill 3395. Janet, would you summarize for us, please?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I want to be sure everyone has the packets that were distributed because this is the second meeting. It's the same packet from the first meeting. You should have the staff under summary for the B5 Conference Committee amendments. There was a fiscal and revenue statement, or a revenue statement for the B5, and a hand-engrossed copy of the B5. What the B5 amendments do is delete the requirement that was in the bill that the Department of Education waive provisions of the charter school law upon joint application by a charter school and the school board of the district in which the school is located. But it leaves authority with the department regarding approval of waivers, and that's under current law. That's the way the charter school bill passed last session, was to leave waivers up to the Department of Education. So those are the B5 amendments. The rest of the bill are several other provisions that have been agreed to regarding private schools. We could go over those if you wish, but in the interest of time. I did want to point out there have been waivers granted by the Department of Education. The department gave us an example of 4 waivers that have been granted by joint application. 2 of them were waivers of the statutory timeline. Because there were conversions of alternative schools to charter schools, the timelines in the statute didn't make sense, not as much sense. So those were waived by the department. One was a student in an existing school having a preferred enrollment ability. That's prohibited under the statute, but because, again, it was a conversion from an alternative school to a charter school, there were some students that were already attending that school, and they were, in fact, grandfathered in. That was another waiver. And the 4th waiver was the 20% cap in enrollment from out of district. And then what the department did was ask that the district contact the surrounding districts to see if that mattered to them. And because they were working with more of an alternative school, kids that may not be attending school, it was less of an issue to the surrounding district. So it gave the ability to look at a case-by-case basis as to whether the standards and statutes made sense in each case, and the department was able to grant those waivers. So those are just some examples of things that the department has done with the statute that just passed last session. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Okay, thank you,
Mr. Chair.
Senator Fisher.
Were those examples where they were a combined application where both parties agreed and wanted the waiver?
Mr. Chair and Senator Fisher, that's my understanding. We do have a representative from the Department of Education. If you have questions for him, Randy Harnish is here. It's my understanding that they were joint. I don't know if it was a joint application, but there was a joint discussion that both parties had
agreed
to.
Mr. Chair, I would like to know, if possible, how many, if there were 4 that were granted, how many weren't granted?
Would you like to speak to Randy?
If you had the time.
Yeah. Randy, could you come up, please?
Mr. Chair, Senator Fisher, the 4 waivers that the State Board did take action on were joint in effect, because our administrative rule required the applicant to notify the sponsor of their intent to file a request for a waiver. Practically speaking, the State Board looked favorably on a joint application, and for all intents and purposes requires that application to come forward together. We have not been faced with a situation where an applicant came to the board over the objection of the sponsor.
The question was, had there been requests for waivers, joint requests for waivers, that were denied?
Representative Backlund, Senator Fisher, no, we have not received any waivers that were denied.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Starr.
Sorry to not go through proper protocol there. I guess I'm wondering who has objection then to this provision that we're trying to take out of the bill, when in fact there's been no joint requests for waivers that have been denied. Why would we not give that level of local control to the local people? Who is objecting to that, and what, for what reason?
Okay. Danny, would you come up, please?
Chair Backlund, Senator Starr, Danny Santos with the Governor's Office, Education Policy Coordinator. In our conversations with the Governor, he had expressed concerns and could not support the bill as it stands with those provisions, and it would back the B-5 amendments in the sense that it's only been a couple of years since we've had this, so we want to have a better track record of what's going on. Historically, we made a great deal of progress last year, 2 years ago, to have this thing passed. The second thing is the reason this the initial legislation passed in the negotiations, it was so that the State Board of Education could have a review process to this. It was almost like a safety valve. The governor continues to support that mechanism and would be opposed to the bill as it currently stands, but would support it with the B-5 amendment.
Senator?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Then, what we're facing then is a constitutional problem, Mr. Chair, that is requires 31 and 16 and the one in the center. And so I'm sorry that we are at this point of contention over an issue of local control that I feel very strongly about. But we will have more experience in two more years and another opportunity to modify the law, because there are some important components here in the bill. I think that I will recede from my opposition and allow this to move forward reluctantly.
I can guess that, Senator. I understand that. Representative Hobson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. If I might posit an idea, putting on my superintendent's hat, with all due respect, I see it more as local control, with the decision having to be made by the partners, the charter school and the district, having to make the decision that they all agree to, rather than, with all due respect to the Department of Education, informing them and having them as the ultimate hierarchy make the decision for the two of us that are negotiating. I think it's nice and appropriate that they are the oversight to make sure that we're not messing up some other part of it, which we certainly could do. But I see the local control in insisting that the two parties hammer it out together. I do understand what you're saying.
Mm-hmm. Well, the chair would certainly accept the B-5 amendment motion.
So moved.
Senator Castillo?
So moved, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Senator Castillo moves the dash B-5 amendments to House Bill 3395. Any further discussion?
Mr. Chair.
Senator Fisher.
Thank you.
Don't
apologize. I would just echo Senator Starr's feelings here that, to me, I don't see much of a problem with allowing the local people to work something out and to live with it. Yet I, too, would like to see some of the other portions of this bill go into effect, so I will support this.
Thank you. Any objections? The dash B-5 amendments are passed to House Bill 3395. The chair will move that the House concurs in the Senate amendments dated 5801, and that the bill be further amended and repassed. Discussion? Paula, could we have a vote, please? A roll, please.
Senator Castillo?
Aye.
Senator Fisher?
Aye.
Senator Starr?
Aye.
Senator Thompson?
Aye.
Representative Dodd?
Aye.
Chair Backlund?
Aye. Having received the constitutional majority, I declare that House Bill 3395, as amended, passed. Thank you very, excuse me. Jen?
Carrier.
Okay. Carrier in the House? Elaine, excuse me, Representative Hobson will carry in the Senate?
Okay.
Senator Castillo, thank you very much. I appreciate our discussion on this. I know it's been a struggle for our senators in question to do this, and I appreciate very much your willing to do that and to be flexible, and because there are provisions in the bill I think we all like.
Yes.
Yeah. With that, then we'll adjourn the meeting.